Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtimes. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 459. I'm your host, Christopher Jones. We're going to talk some football tonight. CFL football. We always talk about CFL football. There's really not much to talk about in any other type of football right now because the NFL is still going, but, you know, they're kind of boring. Some of the games that I understand I've never watched. I haven't watched an NFL game probably in 25 years. I'm being told that they're quite exciting now, and they're actually starting to resemble or even surpass the excitement of the CFL teams, CFL games this year. Well, the CFL games this year have been pretty fucking boring, so it wouldn't take much to be more exciting than that. So, for the most part, we'll see what happens. There's been some cool things that have been happening in the CFL. We got a couple of trades this week. That's not normal. We very rarely have trades in the CFL this time of year, but the trade deadline is coming up, and some teams are going to make the playoffs, and they know it, and other teams are going to make the playoffs, and they need to get some help there, so there's going to be some rental players, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Is there more in store? There's some rumors out there, but let's just deal with the ones that we have for sure. Big question. Are you enthusiastic about football this year? I'm not. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And we're talking about the CFLPA and legal battles. Ooh, that's going to be a hot topic. We'll see what else is happening. And up-to-date power rankings, QB rankings. What other kind of rankings are we going to talk about? Or just ranked players. Oh, yeah, there was some talk about Dave Dickinson talking about Bo Levi Mitchell, and I'll throw that one out there. We might as well talk about that one a little later as well. So let's open up the mics and get our boys in here. We got William online and Charles. Charles has just made an announcement. Actually, he didn't make his announcement. His partner in crime has, but Russ Gordon. The two of them are heading off to Hamilton to see the Grey Cup. Congratulations. Well done. And I know it's not really a congratulations like, whoa, yeah. It's just a matter of spending money, and anybody can do it if they spend the money. And
that's true.
Yeah, oh, and able to get onto an airplane because that's kind of important, I guess, too.
Yep, that is a good point.
Yeah, because
unfortunately, at the moment, I can.
You can go on the great. You can go on the airplane.
You can,
at this point in time. That
you could drive.
No, I can't. I have to go through Saskatchewan.
Okay, you'd never make it.
No, they'd fucking kill me. Those guys are nice there. Anyhow.
Yeah.
What are we going to... So how's things with you? Anything else that's neat and interesting and wonderful? You are going to the Grey Cup.
No, pardon me?
What made this come up upon you? And is this something you were thinking about for a long time? Or was this for the moment with Russ? I know you've been there before with him.
You know, it came up a few weeks ago. He just mentioned, you know, that he had thought about going and this is kind of what he was looking at, what the cost would be and stuff like that. So he just kind of messaged me one day and kind of put the bug in my ear. And I was thinking about it. And at first I'm like, do I really want to go to Hamilton in December? I mean, what am I going to freeze to death? But then the more I thought about it, I've actually never been to the province of Ontario, and I know there's people out
really?
There saying, you're not missing anything. I honestly have never been east of Alberta. The farthest I've been east is probably Edmonton, and I haven't been east of that, so I've never been to that part of the country before. So I'm like, you know what? What the heck? It's the price is relatively cheap. Let's go. So we started talking about it, and then last weekend, we were just talking on the phone. We're like, you know what? The airfare is pretty good still. Let's just get her done and get moving on it. So we bing, bang, bong. In a matter of a couple hours, it was all taken care of. So,
awesome, awesome. Ontario is actually quite a nice province. I've been to you know, a fair amount of it. Not all, but I mean, I drove through it from one end to the other and did a couple other things. I've been there a couple other times by airplane. I love the city of Ottawa. It's a cute little town. It's just Toronto I don't like.
Yeah. Well, I've never been in the eastern – sorry, go on.
It's just that it's the people are just – you know, they're egotistical and arrogant, and I know I get a lot of flack from people in Toronto for saying that, but just, you know, having head office back there from all different companies that I've been with or worked with and around in the last 40 years, I have no use talking to anybody over there. None. Zero. But Hamilton's a cool little town. You're going to like it.
Yep. No, I'm looking forward to it. Should be good. Like I said, I've never been past Alberta in Canada. That kind of makes me a bad Canadian because I haven't seen the rest of the country.
Wow.
But and I've never been in the Eastern time zone in Canada. In the U.S. I have in Florida, but I've never been to the Eastern time zone in Canada. So it's somewhere I've never been before, so I'm kind of looking forward to going and checking out that part of the country. So.
Yeah. I've never made it to the Maritimes. Although I'm told that it's actually quite beautiful, and especially beautiful this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of cool colors in the fall there. And so does Quebec. Quebec's got a lot of reds and oranges and yellows and stuff like that with the maple trees. It seems that BC only gets yellow colors. All our trees are all
true.
Yellow here.
Yellow and kind of oranges.
Yeah, they get purple and red and blues and really cool colors in their trees. But anyhow, welcome to the show, William. How are you?
Hello. Now that you guys have discussed the geography of Canada,
well,
I guess I can throw my 2 cents. I guess I can throw my 2 cents in there. I have also. Okay, I shouldn't say I've never been to Ontario. I have been to Thunder Bay.
Okay.
To pick up beer when we had a beer strike in Manitoba. Okay.
Yeah.
That was worth the drive. But I've never been to Toronto. I've never been to those places. I've been to the Maritimes. My family was born and raised there.
Cool.
And it is a beautiful place. It is a beautiful place. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So Charles, the year that there's a Grey Cup in Halifax, we should go, okay? Just so you know.
Whatever the Grey Cup, I'd put that out there.
I'm with you.
Yes.
I'll be there.
Yep.
Okay.
Whenever the Grey Cup's in Halifax, I'll go too.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's a date, guys.
I'm going to put a caveat in there. Okay?
Okay.
As long as I'm alive.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. You betcha.
Because it may take longer than the next 40 years, and I don't think I'll be around.
I tend to wonder, and I'm going to ask Charles this outright. I guess it was kind of easy to get tickets for the Grey Cup. Why is that?
Well, it is. Well, here's the thing. Right now, the tickets have only been on sale to Hamilton Tiger Cat season ticket holders. And in fact, they don't go on sale to the general public till tomorrow. But we were able to figure out from, I can't remember who it was, a pre-sale code for the Grey Cup. So if you have the pre-sale code, you can go in and you can buy tickets before the general public was. So because they're not on sale for the general public, we were able to buy them early. So that's why it's not sold out, because it hasn't really gone on sale to anybody but the Hamilton season ticket holders.
I did look, and I didn't like what was left over. So, because I did have a pre-sale code as well, because I'm a Calgary Stampeders season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, yeah. So, I did look. It did kind of cross my mind. So,
I'll be there.
Is that a hard no right now, Will?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard no. It's too close to Christmas.
It's very close to Christmas, and you would have to at least be double vaccinated by then, if not triple.
Yes.
And my wife is telling me that's my Christmas gift, so it is what it is.
And accept it.
Yeah, If that's my Christmas gift, I'm not going to complain about it. Why would I?
No.
That's a pretty nice Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Just a simple fact that nothing else is going to cost you any more money.
There you go.
I had thought about it because I've got a good friend who lives out there in Ontario, and I've got a sister who lives in Ontario as well, and I thought I was going to make it a week or a 10-day thing and go visit everybody, but I'm just way too busy right now to do that. So I guess I will not.
Okay.
But my prediction, just so you know, and I'll throw this out there, my prediction currently for the Grey Cup, are you guys ready? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down and ready? Calgary versus the Montreal Alouettes.
Be interesting.
I'm not opposed to that. That's not out on the limb.
Neither am I, although I'm a little bit weary about Montreal's chances right now. But
really?
You never know.
You look at Toronto. Okay? I mean, McLeod Bethel-Thompson is their catch-all be-all right now, and that's not high caliber. You know, Montreal, any given Sunday, can beat Toronto.
And once Kahari coaches Trevor Harris, you never know what could happen. So,
yeah, I do.
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay, should we talk some football now? Wait, we have been.
We were.
Yeah, well, you know, good on you, Charles, for following your dream there and heading off to Toronto or Hamilton, actually, to do you fly into Toronto or are you flying into Hamilton?
Flying to Hamilton.
Airport. You do, eh?
Yeah,
they have an airport.
Surprisingly enough, they do.
Yeah, well,
yes, they do.
I've looked it up. Apparently, it's not very big, but it's there.
No, and if you get to fly right into it, that's all the better for it.
Yeah.
Hamilton's not a small town. I mean, they're not itty-bitty.
It's not.
Have you guys ever been, either one of you, well, Charles, I know hasn't been, have you ever been to the Saskatoon airport?
Yes, I have.
I was there once upon a time. I was there once upon a time. And I go to the ticket counter and I get my ticket and I'm waiting for the lady to tell me which gate I should go to.
Yeah, there is.
And I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I say to her, which gate should I go to? And she points and she says, that gate, it's the only one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's pretty funny.
Well, you're there. Are you there for like a day or 2 days or 3 days or how long, Charles?
You were saying something? I thought you were going to say something. No, we get there on the Thursday evening and we go home on the Monday, the day after the Grey Cup.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
It isn't. There's some cool things that are really close to Hampton. Like St. Catharines isn't that far, which is Niagara Falls, right? So,
yep.
I mean, it's not an hour away. So it would have been really cool to cruise over there if you've obviously never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a neat what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to use the word ancient, but a historic type of area. Okay? There's a lot of Canadian history in that area. Just thought I'd share that. And yeah, and
look into that.
Like 600,000 people.
Yeah, it's not a small place.
No, it's not. But it's far enough away from Toronto that it doesn't have that influence to it, right? Mississauga is too close to Toronto, and it's 800,000 people. It's like Burnaby.
Mm-hmm.
Mississauga is, right? They're like they're right beside each other. Okay. Anyhow, let's go down and talk about football on this list that we got. So we had three games last week because of this stupid Thanksgiving week before. So we had Winnipeg into Calgary, or sorry, Winnipeg into Edmonton, and the Bombers are increasing their winning percentage over pretty much everybody in the league, except Toronto. And Toronto beat them on an off day, so we'll see what happens. Anyhow, Winnipeg won this one, 26-16. The total was 42. Charles, you took Winnipeg at 48. You were minus six. Picked up 130 points on this game. What did you think of it?
Well, to be honest, I didn't see a whole lot of it. I saw bits and pieces of it. I was actually surprised that Edmonton was able to keep it as close as they were. I mean, Winnipeg had simply been rolling. And let's face it, Edmonton is – they're playing with two rookie quarterbacks that that's not a very good recipe for success. But I was actually surprised that I honestly thought this was going to be a bit of a blowout. In the CFL, 10 points is not a blowout. In fact, going into the fourth quarter, the game was tied. And yeah. You got to look at the Bombers, too. When they hit the fourth quarter, they just seem to put their foot on the gas pedal and run away because they've been having big fourth quarter after big fourth. I mean, this one wasn't huge, but they still outscored them 10-0 in the fourth quarter, and they've been beating everybody in the fourth quarter. So while I was not surprised the Bombers got the win, I was surprised that the Elks were able to keep it fairly close. So it's almost like a moral victory for them that they're playing the team that's first overall, and they didn't get blown out. So good on that one, again, Winnipeg just is they're finding ways to win. I mean, this one was an ugly one. I mean, if there is such a thing as an ugly win, this was it. But they still got the win, which is the main point. You got to go out and you got to get the win. But
you need the
like
W.
I said, Edmonton. Yeah, but Edmonton can hold their head up high. They didn't get run out of the building. So you got to at least give them that credit.
Okay, I do want to add something to what you just said. I think the 16 points flattered Edmonton. I honestly don't think they played good enough to get 16 points. It was almost like Winnipeg didn't show up for the game. It was kind of like when BC played Edmonton and BC kind of like fucked the dog, and then Edmonton mm-hmm. actually beat us. Winnipeg didn't wake up until the fourth quarter, and then they said, hey, you could actually lose this one. We better play some football, and they did. So I really don't think Winnipeg was taking this game very seriously, and I don't think they really anticipated it to they just thought it was going to be a walkover, and they took their foot off the gas from the opening kickoff. That was my perception of the game, is Winnipeg just didn't play football until the fourth quarter. Or they didn't play their football until the fourth quarter.
And that may be the case.
They just woke up. That was my take on this game because it was a very sloppy game all the way along. And yet Edmonton is holding their own against Winnipeg. But that was because Winnipeg just wasn't playing good football. My opinion. Jim, what was your take on this game? Oh, hang on for a second.
Well,
you picked Winnipeg at 47 points. You got 132 points for this one.
Right. Well, you know what? I thought the game was rather boring. I do believe Winnipeg took Edmonton lightly. But they still won, and that's usually what happens when you're a decent team and you're playing a shitty team. Half their, almost like 12 of their points were field goals. They did kick Edmonton's ass in the running game. They had 175 rushing yards to Edmonton's 71. Okay,
and they lost
so obviously
Harris,
they're yeah. Well, yeah, but Andrew Harris behind that O-line doesn't matter. And they had more passing yards. So, like I said, it's once again, and I'm going to keep on saying this every week, it's getting harder and harder for Winnipeg to be motivated because now they've already clinched a playoff spot, and they got nothing to look forward to for at least 5 weeks. Okay? So
yeah, they're playing meaningless game after meaningless game.
I mean, once again, do you play your starters? Okay? And I know in the CFL the rosters aren't big enough not to play starters, but do you play Zach Collaros? Do you play? Well, Andrew Harris is hurt now, so definitely
you
give him a couple
him
weeks
for the
off.
Rest of the game. You sit him for the rest of the season,
you know,
and let him heal.
Right,
I would.
Zach Collaros has been known to be able to sit and come in and win four games straight, i.e. 2019. Okay.
We just saw him do that a few years ago.
That is correct. So, because once again, the way he runs around, if he gets a hit, the Bomber season could be over. And maybe you should give his backup some experience. That might be an ideal thing. And if not the whole game, at least half the game. So, but then if they start to lose, you don't want to take the momentum away from them because I know what it's like in Calgary to lose your last three or four games when you've had a stellar season. So it's, you know, and if you think about it, in 2019, Winnipeg had to fight for every single thing they got.
Yes. They were on the road the entire playoffs.
They were on the road the entire playoffs. So, different situation. Let's see how they handle it.
Yeah. No.
Well, we saw that, too, back in 2005 when the BC Lions started 11-0. And then they just kind of collapsed down the stretch because it was getting too easy for them. And then and that's the thing, too, is if you get off to that hot start and you're on a roll – and then you start to go down a little bit, that it takes a lot to get back up.
You're much better at
season
0-5.
Yeah, it spirals like a snowball.
Right, 2011, start the season 0-5 and destroy the rest of the season and win a Grey Cup. I like that idea.
Yeah,
right.
Saw that too.
Yeah.
Right, that works. But you're right, starting 11-0 and going, yeah. That's kind of like what the Bombers are right now, right? They're, what are they, 8-1?
They're 8-1 or 9-1, something like that.
Yeah,
so
9-1
right now.
9-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, who do you look in this in the league as competition?
The next closest team to Saskatchewan and Calgary, they've got 10 points.
No, Toronto's got 6.
Sorry, Toronto has 12. Yeah.
Yeah. But 6 still. Wins. Yeah, it's not. Nobody's even close.
Yeah.
And nope. I honestly believe it's not because Winnipeg is that amazing of a team. I think this is just a shitty league right now. I really don't like the quality of football that's being played straight across the board here.
There's
no,
been a lot
I,
of crap
I
pers- games.
I personally think that Winnipeg is so far ahead of everybody because, as Mark used to reiterate with us, they did start the season with more or less the same team they had in 2019. And
mm-hmm.
there's some sort of
that
consistency
helps.
With that, okay? And you look at a team like Calgary, they had a lot of new players. A team like BC had lots of new players and coaching staff.
Very young team.
So, you know, I mean, those are things that can happen. But like I said, I don't like to put the CFL down. And just so you know, Christopher, no, that's not true. The NFL is not more exciting than the CFL. The NFL is boring shit football, my opinion.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm just reading what people say because I'm not watching it.
But the CFL has not been great this year. The games are getting better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been great.
And I just think this is a product of A, not having a season last year, B, having a short training camp, and no exhibition games. I mean, even in a normal CFL season, we've commented on it before, even a normal CFL season, usually the first 4 weeks are glorified preseason games. And this year with no preseason games at all, that would just took longer, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. 100%. Okay, let's move on from this. The next game up was the Montreal Alouettes went into Ottawa to play the Red Blacks. And again, 16 points flattered the hell out of the Red Blacks. Final score was 27-16, literally a carbon copy of the Winnipeg-Edmonton game. 43 points. You picked Montreal, Charles, at 32 points. Go on. What did you take on this one? Did you watch this game? I missed it completely.
This was the first half of the Saturday doubleheader.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy the second half. Boy, I'll tell you, but we're going to get to that.
That was terrible. Terrible game. Terrible.
Yeah, this game wasn't a great game either, but, I mean, I'll say this. Ottawa kept it close for a little bit, about a quarter and a half. But let's just say that this was a bad team getting beaten by what looked like a mediocre team. While the Alouettes won this one, they weren't exactly a big-time looking team. I mean, I think I made the comment last week that if you go up against the Red Blacks, you just have to play average or decent, and you're going to beat them. And I think that showed that there. I mean, Matt Schlitz coming in, he did all right for himself. He passed for 281 yards and a touchdown. Decent running game, but let's face it, the Ottawa Red Blacks are like a free space on a bingo board at this point. They're a team that, unless something horribly goes wrong for a team, they're not going to beat many teams. I mean, sure, they beat Edmonton, who's probably the only team that would be considered a bigger train wreck right now than Ottawa, and they're getting worse by the day. But this one was, I mean, it wasn't a great, exciting game. It was pretty predictable. I never got the feeling that Ottawa was going to win this game. Like I said, basically Montreal just played average, they played decent, and they beat Ottawa. And that's about all there is to it. I mean, there wasn't a lot to talk about in this game. The one thing I will say, this a guy who's really stood out for me this season, Jake Winicky, the receiver for Montreal, is a guy that kind of stood out for me this year. He had another big game. He had 11 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown. So he's one guy I notice every time Montreal plays. So he's not a guy I knew a lot about going into the season, but he's a guy that he's like a vacuum guy. Wherever they throw the ball to him, he always seems to catch it. So.
Okay. William.
Yes. I watched the entire game. I decided to have a nap during the second half, which from the look of the score, I didn't miss anything, okay? Because most of the points were in the first half. And I will concur with Charles. Jake Winicky is a sleeper receiver this year. He's been quite impressive. But you know what? Neither team impressed me. And once again, it's an Eastern game, and sometimes they can be brutal. And I think that game was brutal, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's about all I got to say.
Hard to argue on that one. Okay, the next game, the last game, was the Calgary Stampeders played the BC Lions. And Calgary won this one in a train wreck, 39-10. And BC did score a touchdown, but didn't convert. So they actually had – they were leading at 1.6-0. And I'm honestly surprised that they got any points after that. It just – everything about this BC Lions team fell apart. Their O-line couldn't block shit. The receivers couldn't catch the ball. Riley was always rushed. It brought back nightmares from 2019 for me. Calgary looked like a strong team, but I mean they could have been playing Ottawa and it would have looked the same. I wasn't impressed with BC's game at all. And Calgary, are they getting better? Yeah, I think they are. They're going to make a run for this. They're going to take second place, if not. Well, they're not going to take first, but they're going to be in second place in the West pretty quick. They will host a playoff game. I have no doubt about that. It's going to be up to BC and Saskatchewan coming down the stretch as to what's going to happen. And I'm looking at Montreal, and they got one more victory that's going to come up for them. Mm-hmm. What's that noise?
Sorry, somebody's printing something on my... Sorry, it's done. Someone was printing something on the printer. It came out of the blue.
Montreal's currently at 5 wins. They got one more game against Ottawa, so they're going to have 6 wins. That means that BC or Calgary has to have 7 to get into the playoffs. Now, Montreal is in second place, so Hamilton, it just depends on what they're doing. Montreal has a very tough schedule going down the stretch, but then so does BC. So BC and Hamilton currently are tied at 4 wins each. BC has to stay ahead of Hamilton if they want to make the playoffs, guarantee a playoff position in the crossover. Because right now, Saskatchewan and Calgary are both higher than them, but Calgary and Saskatchewan play each other, so one of them's going to lose this week. Anyhow, that's kind of my take. Where are we going here? Where was I? BC, Calgary. Okay, Charles, you picked BC. You got 0 points for that. You're picked 42. You're off by 7. That's 28 points that you picked up on this one. Go ahead. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. Okay, go ahead.
Pass.
You're going to pass?
No, I mean...
You can't argue with a thing I said.
Not a thing. In fact, you might have been a little nice. This was embarrassing to watch. And it started so promising after the Lions scored on their opening drive. They went marched right down and scored a touchdown. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a good one. And then the rest of the game happened, and that was awful. It was just awful. I can barely put into words how bad that was. I don't know really how to really it was bad is what it was. It was just terrible.
It was a terrible
the Lions offense
game of football.
Was anemic. The Lions defense couldn't stop the Calgary offense. I mean, the Lions are probably fortunate that score wasn't worse.
Oh yeah,
to be perfectly honest, cuz to lose by 29 points, it could have been worse. I mean, it just the Lions, once the score got Calgary just put on, just stepped on it, and they went right past them. And the Lions never really threatened. I mean, Mike Riley was just, his stats were terrible. I'm sorry. He's been,
but
for the
it
most
part. He was running for his life most of the game.
Well, that too. I mean, the 2019 BC Lions offensive line appeared to have come back in that game. He was running all over the place. He got no time. I mean, 13 of 25 for 145 yards, 2 interceptions. That is not Mike Riley type numbers. Nathan Rourke actually came in and looked half decent. He was 11 of 17 for 115 yards. Granted, that was all garbage time. Stampeders at that point were playing basic prevent defense because they didn't need to do anything else at that point. So it's not that hard to get completions and put up yardage against prevent defense. He was running for his life. And speaking of the word running, when you've
you
got a running
thereof?
Back, yeah, your leading rusher has 6 carries for 29 yards. This is the Lions' Achilles heel. When you have a team that can do nothing but pass the ball, it becomes easier and easier to defend against them. And, I mean, I'm sorry, they did not even have 100 yards run. They didn't, they barely, they had 70 yards rushing on 12 carries. And that's not terrible, but come on. In reality, their running game is non-existent. And I'm sorry, James Butler is not the answer. And I see the Lions going out and they're bringing in, what's his name, Devere Posey back. They've gone out, signed this guy. They go sign a running back for crying out loud.
Well,
that's your biggest problem.
They did. They did sign a running back.
Yeah,
I've
never heard of them.
Yeah, me neither. I'm just saying
they
did.
They didn't play them. Yeah. Well,
no, well they weren't allowed.
Then?
They can't play yet.
Well, I guess they
yet.
Couldn't play. Well, maybe they'll
not
play
this week.
No, with
COVID protocol. They had to sit
no.
that game. So they
right,
could be,
that's
they
right.
weren't allowed to practice with the team until Friday, and the game was Saturday.
Right.
So, yeah, they didn't play last game because of the COVID protocol. And then this week coming up, they may be in the lineup. I don't know what's going on. Okay.
Well, let's hope somebody can figure this out because their running game right from week one has been awful. They have not had a running game this season. And unless they get that figured out, they're not going anywhere. I'm sorry.
I don't know when they had
about
a running game. It's the last time they had a running game.
I don't know. They didn't have it in 2019 either. I mean, we talked about the Grey Cup in Hamilton. You go to a game in Hamilton in December, you have to have a running game because you can't throw the ball in those conditions like that the whole game. It's just not going to work. So, yeah, that's the Lions were terrible in this game. Stampeders looked very good. They've certainly, from when we played them in the early part of the season and now, it looks like a completely different team. It probably helps that Bo Levi Mitchell wasn't playing on a broken leg like he did last time. So, yeah, this Calgary team is starting to peak at the right time. So they're you got to have to watch out for them because they are really they're really starting to roll right now. This could be I think they're going to overtake Saskatchewan for second place.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they play this week, so that should be interesting.
Saskatchewan, Calgary plays this week, and they're both tied right now at 5-4. One of them is going to be 6-4, and one of them is going to be 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just what's going to happen. William, you enjoyed this game. You had a nice rest in the previous game, a little nap, and then you got to watch the full game of BC Calgary.
Well, you know what? I was expecting, and I said this last week, I was expecting a close game. I really was. And I thought it would be an entertaining game, but
it wasn't.
I'm sorry, Calgary came out and they dominated it. That's the best I can say. That is by far and away the best game Calgary's played this year. No doubt about it. And so does Calgary look that good, or is BC not that great? I guess you can look at it one of two ways, right?
BC stunk it up the stadium in two games this year, one with Calgary and one with Edmonton.
Yeah. They weren't good against Winnipeg either.
Yeah, but
so did Calgary get better because the last time they played BC, Bo Levi threw, what, 4 interceptions, I think it was?
Yep.
Can't remember.
Yep.
It wasn't a pretty game.
He was playing on
a
broken
game
leg.
At all. Well,
Charles,
sort
stop
of.
Doing
yeah.
that.
You know what? I can't say anything other than they dominated all three phases of the game. Bo Levi Mitchell was as on as I've seen him in this year, at least, maybe even last year. Charles talks about BC not being able to find a running back. Did you see that Rock Thomas guy in Calgary? He's been on their practice roster all year long. Okay? That's the first game he played in. Like, where did he come from? Okay? And he's a running back, Charles, so he was the guy who returned the punt or the kickoff or whatever it was 100 and some odd yards. Anyway,
oh, that, yeah.
101.
Yeah. Overall, 101. Yeah, overall, great performance by Calgary. That's all I can say.
And that kickoff return was the end of the game, by the way. That's what basically, once that happened, that game was over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the kickoff in the opening of the second
yep.
half.
Opening kickoff
in
the second half, taken back.
I'm just going, what the fuck just happened? I'm looking at it happening, and it's just like, seriously? Okay. So let's go back to this and go with that. So that Charles, or sorry, Will, that was you picked Calgary on that one with 45 points. So you're off by 4 points. You got 134 for that. In the way that I've just done this, I never talked about what I did. Oh, how wonderful I am. I grabbed the Winnipeg at 100 points, but I also nailed the score. So I got 50 points there. I picked up Montreal, got 100 points, got 24 on the score there. That's great. Off by three in the BC-Calgary game, but I took BC, so I only got 36 points there. So for week 11, Will gets 396 points, Christopher gets 310, Charles is 278, still very respectable. The current standings are 3,264 for William, 368 for CJ, and 29-38 for Charles. Where are we going with this one? Oh, William. William has absolutely nailed the picks for the last nine games. Okay? Right down the line, he's got nine straight correct picks. Now, I'm looking at mine, and I've got it started at the same time as him, and I've got exactly the same picks except for the fact I took that Saskatchewan game kind of being nice to Will so that he could catch up. And then I picked BC over Calgary, which I just do, and I failed miserably on that one. So, yeah, okay. I'm not trying to make excuses for why Will's doing such a great job. I'm congratulating him on this right now. He is doing a pretty spectacular job. In fact, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You've only missed 7 picks all season. Oh, no, I can't say that because we only got week 6. From week 6 on, you've only missed 7 picks. So that's not so bad. I can't. Sparky eliminated week 1 to 5 on here, so I can't do anything about that. I don't
know
what's going on, but you had pretty shitty scores in the back.
I do this very scientifically. It's the same way we had a municipal election in Calgary this week.
Oh,
and,
did you?
Yes, he is. He wasn't rerunning. He's gone. He wants to go provincial politics or something.
Well, good luck.
But anyways, I was driving home from work, and so I was going to the polls right after work, and I hadn't done any research on the candidates, and
mm-hmm.
so I did it really scientifically. I drove through my neighborhood, and I counted.
And saw the most
and
amount
I counted,
of signs.
Counted the signs.
That is correct. That is correct, sir. And I voted for her, and she won. So. I can't go wrong these days, okay? It was kind of
wow,
funny.
Awesome.
First time in the history of Calgary where they've had a female mayor.
Oh, well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go for this week's predictions. Going over to the headlines here. Do we have the predictions from the... the media? I'm looking for that right now. I don't see anything. Hang on. I'll just cruise over to Charles, and I got to turn his mic back on. He was making funny noises. Turn his mic off.
I was yawning. Sorry.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any predictions from the media. I looked for them. I couldn't find them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see them here either. So we're just going to have to make these predictions on our own. We have four games this week. We have the Toronto Argonauts going into Montreal to play the Alouettes. Ooh, it's going to be a tough game. Who's going to take this one, Charles?
This one, I think, is a tough game. We'll talk about it a little bit more, obviously, but Trevor Harris is now in Montreal, but I don't believe he's going to start. I think the feeling is, at least initially, he's going to be in there as a backup. So I'm not. Mm-hmm. They're not expecting him to start, so it's going to be Matt Schlitz. And to be honest, and I talked about it a little bit before, he played pretty well last week. Granted, he was playing Ottawa, so a teenager could probably play quarterback and look good against Ottawa nowadays. But I think I'm going to go with Montreal. I think they got a better defense, quite frankly, than Toronto does. Toronto's defense isn't bad, but I think Montreal's is better. And I think they're going to have to lean on that defense for a little bit while longer. But I think Montreal is going to win this. Is this game in Montreal or Toronto?
It's in Montreal.
Okay, and they're a pretty good home team as well. So, yeah, I'm going to take Montreal to win this one, and I'm going to say Montreal 41 points.
Okay, and William. You going to take
Toronto
the Argos, or you going to go after your Alouette team?
I'm going to take the Argos, and I'm going to say 48 points.
48 points on the Argos. Okay, well, that's kind of cool. I'm going to take Montreal, and I'm going with 52 points here. 52 points, and I'm taking the Alouettes. The next game is the Ottawa Redblacks are traveling to Timbit Field to play Hamilton Tiger Cats. Charles, what you going to do here? Is this another victory for the Ottawa Redblacks? Is this their third victory of the year?
They are 14.5 point underdogs in Ottawa. And I don't think they're going to cover the spread either. I think Hamilton blows them out. I really do. Ottawa's terrible. They've got inexperienced quarterbacks. Hamilton hasn't been great, but, you know, they're decent. And as I said before, that's all you got to do against Ottawa is be decent. And I think they'll be a little better than that. Quite frankly, I think it's this one's a Hamilton victory, a fairly easy Hamilton victory. Hamilton 46, I'm taking.
Hamilton 46. Okay, so Jeremiah Mazzoli is starting for the Tiger Cats, and Dane Evans is backing him up.
Mm-hmm.
So they are back to two healthy quarterbacks.
Which should help them as well, so.
Yes, okay. Not that the other guy wasn't doing too bad. He just wasn't doing very great. Okay.
He kept their head above water. That's all they needed him to do.
He did. Are you busting the cycle here and going with Ottawa, or are you going to be confident with the Hamilton victory?
Come on, Will. Pick Ottawa.
Pick
okay.
Ottawa, Will.
Hamilton 563.
No, let's go Hamilton 49.
Okay. CJ is going to take the hammer here, and I'm going to be a little more conservative and go 39 points. Okay. I'm not excited about this game. The next one up is the BC Lions are playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Winnipeg. Now, Will has been very adamant about making it known that Winnipeg has nothing to play for. Are they going to, and we just proved that when they have nothing to play for and they are cocky and arrogant, they didn't play all that well against this Edmonton team. Are they going to play the same sort of football against BC and let BC into the game? Or to come out and say, fuck, we played like shit last week and we're going to come out and thump these guys. I'm not looking forward to this game at all, but it's going to be a happy one. Ooh, that's the way I look at it. Charles, what's your pick? BC into Winnipeg.
I honestly wish I didn't have to pick this game because, quite frankly, what I think is going to happen and what I want to happen is completely in contrast to one another. This game scares me. I mean, my hope is that maybe they – I'm going to hope that the Bombers are going to take one lightly now and then here. Sometimes when teams get on a roll and are winning well, that happens. So I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take a flyer that maybe they look past this game to another game. And I'm going to, guess what, take the BC Lions. My confidence level is like minus 60 on this. But I'll take the Lions to win, and I say it'll be 38 points, a low-scoring one.
Okay. And, William, who are you going to take here?
Winnipeg 36. Winnipeg 36.
Winnipeg 36, okay.
But you're going against your theory.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That Winnipeg has nothing to play for.
Yeah, I know. But if I pick BC, Christopher will pick Winnipeg. And
probably.
So I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So what's your theory then?
You're going to pick Winnipeg, or you're going to pick BC now?
No, I'm picking Winnipeg here, and my score is 42.
Okay.
I love my BC Lions, but I'm not stupid.
I'll laugh if I win this one.
No, you know what, Charles? I win either way.
I guess that's true.
I get the points if Winnipeg wins, and BC wins, I'm excited. I couldn't give a shit
about a smart way to look at it.
Yeah. Okay, so this next game, the last game. This one's going to be a challenge for Charles because he knows where the other two are going. This is going to be a Saskatchewan Rough Riders into Calgary, into McMahon Stadium to play the Stampeders. Charles, you're up.
Oh, God. This is another game where what I want to happen, what I think will happen are in – well, you know what? No, that's not true. I want both to happen, but – I know you guys are both going to pick Calgary to win this one, and I think Calgary is going to win this one as well. But I need to catch up, so I'm going out on a limb and going to – oh, God, I hate doing this because I hate taking them, period. But, damn it, I'll do it anyways. I'll go out on a limb. I'll take the Riders to win this one. I hate doing this, both because I don't like picking the Riders to begin with and because I think they're probably going to lose. But I'll take them anyways. I'll take the Riders, and I'll say 50 points in this one.
Okay. William.
Well, now, this is a big game for Calgary because, you know, it's very hard to beat the same team three times in one season. Number one.
Correct.
And Calgary's already beat Saskatchewan twice.
We talked about this before the show.
Yeah, they're going to have all those retarded Saskatchewan fans in the stands. Whoops, did I say that? I apologize. But Winnipeg or Calgary still has a very young team. So maybe they're taking the game last week against BC that they were fantastic, and maybe they're not going to come out so well this week against Saskatchewan. And maybe Saskatchewan is hungry because Winnipeg's beat them.
Well, they're on a massive losing streak, aren't they? Or did they win last week?
They didn't play last week, did they? No, they didn't play last week. So say that's the case, and I'm talking out my ass here. I'm gonna still pick Calgary, and I'm gonna go 42.
42. Okay. I'm gonna take the Stampeders just because the one time I picked Saskatchewan, which was stupid on my part, they lost anyhow. I'm gonna go with 48 on this one. I think it's going to be a closer game, but I think they're both going to play some good football. And Calgary's the better team right now, in my opinion, so they're going to play This will be three games in a row that Saskatchewan loses to Calgary.
That's right.
Calgary,
yeah.
Calgary played BC in the middle, but Saskatchewan had the bye. So this literally is three games in a row for Saskatchewan. They got to be hungry for this one. So, yeah, Charles, your pick's not looking so stupid or out of sorts right now, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I'll say this. I think my chances of getting a win with Saskatchewan are infinitely better than my chances of getting a win with BC.
I would agree.
I have to wholeheartedly agree with you.
Yep.
Okay. So I picked Calgary at 48. Will took Calgary at 42, and Charles took Saskatchewan at 50. Okay, that's it. Is that a wrap?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I got no food in this place. I got nothing in the drawers. Nothing here. Okay. Looking for some munchies of some kind. Candy corn. Candy corn would be nice. I'm craving candy corn right now. Oh, it's awesome. It's its own food group. I love it. I got a big bag of it. I bought 20 pounds of it the other day. It's in my top drawer of my dresser, so nobody knows it's there.
20 pounds? Are you kidding me?
20 pounds of candy corn. It's the only time I get it. Sometimes I freeze it and get to eat it in the summertime. That's awesome. There was a list. Somebody put out a list the other day, and, you know, it's one of those stupid things of like, you know, which one of these items won't you eat, and what's the number, right? Like, how many of these won't you eat? And I'm looking at the list, and I'm going down, and it's artichokes and broccoli and what is the little cabbages is called? Brussels sprouts and, you know, also the sushi and shit like this. I'm looking at this list, and I said, there's not a fucking thing on here I'm going to eat. Not a thing. And then I saw candy corn. I went, hey, candy corn, yeah. So I got one. There's one thing on this list I'm going to eat. Yeah, anyhow. Okay. So I guess you guys don't share that enthusiasm of that product that I do, eh?
I am not a candy corn fan.
No, hey. Well, that's actually good because then I get lots. So if we're at the
have
same room, there's a bowl of candy corn, it's all mine.
It's all yours, yep.
Okay. Edmonton trades Trevor Harris to Montreal. Now, there was lots of rumors that went on about this, is that Trevor Harris was unvaccinated, not going to be able to fly come the end of the month. So, you know, get rid of him now, get him back to the East Coast. All the good games back there be able to be from one to another or the train. Everything's going to be good for him up back there. So that's going to be okay. And then what's his nuts? He comes out and says that, no, you're not playing in the playoff games unless you're vaccinated. And that's something we can talk about later because that's really stupid. But Trevor Harris has gone to Montreal. Now, he comes out and says he's fully vaccinated, so that's not really the reason why they did it. Another story came out said that he was not happy with being sat in the last game, and he basically said, play me or trade me. One story, and the other story is that he's a little bit on the beat side of things, and I don't know what it is. I'm just there's a lot of speculation going on right now about this trade of Trevor Harris to Edmonton. Edmonton fans are losing their fucking minds over it. I don't know why. I never thought Trevor Harris was a quality quarterback to start with. He didn't show anything wonderful in Ottawa, in my opinion. He is the on-off again quarterback. We don't know what Trevor Harris is going to do. And that was with a fairly decent Ottawa team. Now that they don't have a team in Ottawa or Edmonton, he's just showing lots of warts. He's not that good a quarterback. Personal opinion. Charles, what's your take on him? What's his trade? Does this make sense to you? I mean, they traded for what? A linebacker or something?
Someone I don't know a lot about, but
yeah.
I'm just really surprised how quickly Trevor Harris fell out of favor in Edmonton. He was their guy. He was their starter. He was the guy going forward, and preseason people were saying, oh, Trevor Harris, he's going to have a huge season in Edmonton. They're going to be awesome and so on. And then they trade him, and he's gone. So it's just bizarre to me how quickly it changed, because he was...
look at their head office, right?
Their head office is a train wreck.
Right, Brock Sunderland, Ottawa, okay?
Yeah.
Jamie Elizondo, Ottawa. Noel Thorpe, Ottawa. Okay, you're talking about all the key components were in Ottawa, and they brought their golden-haired boy over to Edmonton, Trevor Harris, and then found out that he really did suck.
Yep. No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it for years now, that you'll get good Trevor Harris and bad Trevor Harris. Well, we didn't see much at all of good Trevor Harris, hardly at all. It's been more bad than good, and he's been injured. But, I mean, for a team to trade Trevor Harris, who's a veteran, a guy that's gone to Grey Cup games, yes, he hasn't been performing very well this season, but he's still a veteran guy, to just deal him away, and they've got nothing left but two raw rookies? I've never seen anything that weird, because, I don't know, it's bizarre to me that they just up and dropped them like that. It doesn't make sense, but, I mean, it is what it is, of course, but I'm not used to seeing it. I mean, you would think that if they were going to trade away, they try and get something back. They give them some sort of experience at quarterback, because no offense to Taylor Cornelius and, you know, the backup guy. I don't even remember what his name is. But if I'm a fan, I'm not interested in seeing these guys go forward. And by the way, it showed in their last crowd. The crowd there is getting pissed off, because there's nobody at that game. They announced 24,000. Yeah, right. Were they counting toes?
400 was realistic.
I had even said that the Lions, who were still at that point under reduced capacity, had more fans in the building. And I'm not exaggerating at that. If you look at them...
Nope.
It looked like that. But, yeah, I'm just surprised that Edmonton got rid of him and have really no experience to back up. So, yeah, I found it bizarre myself. But it is what it is, so good luck to him.
I mean, 2019, Edmonton Eskimos were below 500, but they had 8 wins. They were 8-10 on the season. Okay? They're going to be lucky to get 3 victories this year.
Probably.
Let's not open your mouth here, CG, unless they've already got it. But no, they're 2-7 on the year right now, and I don't think they're going to win another game. I don't think Ottawa's going to win another game. And they're 2-8. I don't know. It's a pathetic show of things. William. What's your take on Trevor Harris going
yes.
to Montreal? Do you think this is a good move for your Alouettes?
No, the best move for the Alouettes is to have the other quarterback, but he's hurt. So it's
right.
better than starting a raw rookie, okay?
Well, Matt Schlitz is far from a raw rookie.
Yeah, but he's not that good. So
he's not a starter.
No, have we ever seen anything like this happen, where you trade your number one quarterback in the middle of the season? And is this going to be a salary dump for Edmonton? Because they talked about they owe Trevor Harris $300,000 in February. So are the Owls going to keep Trevor Harris for the remainder of the season and then cut him because because they don't want to pay that bonus either? And
wow.
Is it will somebody else sign Trevor Harris down the road? Be interesting
wow.
thing. And I also didn't realize that Trevor Harris, I thought he was younger. He's 34 years old.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not a spring chicken.
No, not even close.
No.
So I wonder what happened in Edmonton. I'm thinking he must have done something to piss people off or something. I don't know. So, and I mean, if I'm an Edmonton season ticket holder and you trade their number one quarterback in the middle of the season, I'm really pissed off.
And they are.
And you could see that. And you can see that in the stands last week. Okay, so I have no clue. And these are things that we will never know about because they're behind the scenes. Trust me. There's something else going on there. And
there has
to be. My next question is, are the Edmonton fans screaming for Brock Sunderland to be out of there?
Yes.
Because he hasn't done anything.
Edmonton groups, and they're going ballistic on Sunderland.
Right.
And not because of this.
Because the team sucks so bad.
Yes. They're not mad at Sunderland for trading Trevor Harris. They're kicking him out the door. They don't want him in their team either.
Right.
Okay. Nobody's mad that he got traded mid-season. You know, we've heard of this happening. We don't expect it. We don't know what's going on. But the Edmonton fans aren't upset about that. They're upset about a pathetic team and the embarrassment that this charred franchise is a state of affairs. Two wins on season. They want heads. They want
things
fired. They want the president gone. They want the general manager gone. They want the coaches gone. They want the quarterback gone. Well, they got that. Oh,
you can't blame them.
No.
You can't blame them.
How does Marcel Desjardins still have a job in Ottawa?
True that.
I mean, there's a difference between Edmonton and Ottawa. Edmonton is a contingent team with a board of directors, and they're wishy-washy at the best times. They don't really make big, decisive moves really quick. They have to have consensus and everything else. Ottawa's owned by, like, a very small group of businessmen. And I'm surprised these guys haven't said, fuck this, let's get rid of this on them.
Yep.
I really am. I know it's a sporting group. It's, you know, the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group. But it's controlled by one or two people.
Yeah.
Trevor Harris to Montreal. It's a good move by Montreal. It makes sense not having Vernon Adams. It's not like they're going to be able to get anybody else. I do believe Edmonton is trying to coerce Nick Arbuckle out of Toronto. I have heard that a couple of
times. I've heard that a couple places. Whether they do or not, that's one thing, but I've heard that too.
So Nick Arbuckle might have some growing to do, and he might be a good pickup for Edmonton. It depends a great deal on what happens with – I mean, Toronto's in no hurry to do anything right now, unless they're trying to dump some salary as well. But, you know, they're going to go to the end of the season, and if McLeod Bethel-Thompson tanks it, why would they bring him back? I mean, they didn't want to bring him to start with, but, you know, he's the one right now taking them to the promised land, and if Montreal takes Toronto out in the Eastern Finals, then I wouldn't get rid of Nick Arbuckle right now because he might just need a year or two to grow. I mean, Toronto's given up some pretty spectacular young quarterbacks
I'm also wondering what Edmonton fans think now when 2 years ago they were hot and heavy to punt Jason Moss as their head coach. Well, guess what? You're in worse shape now than you were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think they got to blow that whole thing up and start over again.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I'm so reluctant to do that, especially with Elizondo and Noel Thorpe. I both think those are two brilliant coaches. Now, the fact that one of them can't be a head coach, they have showed it. Noel Thorpe's doing pretty good on the defense, but did not have a bad defense. I mean, they're not stout, but because they're on the field so goddamn much, right? By the end of the game, they're bloody tired. But, you know, if you look at it, Edmonton's defense is their strong point.
Yeah.
But it's the GM you got to get rid of. Sunderland is just not happening there.
Yeah, and you also wonder, you got to tend to wonder, I mean, we've heard reports come out of Edmonton this year about that whole Joey Moss thing and the trainer thing, and it just seems to be one thing after another. And then, of course, today or yesterday, James Wilder is flapping his lips again. I knew he couldn't go a whole season without flapping his mouth, okay? And it's like, let's just implode the entire thing and see what happens. Because they're having a shit year.
They haven't won at home yet.
Yeah.
No, they have
not. They haven't won at home in like 2 years now. No wonder nobody's going.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
let's go see a team lose.
Man, I got an idea to get them out of this rut. Maybe they should rename the team. What do you think?
maybe this is the curse of the elk.
Yeah,
maybe.
You never know. It's bad. It's bad right now. And you know, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that really like his name and blaming it on that as well. So I'm a member of a couple of the Edmonton Facebook groups, and there's not a lot of kind words over there right now.
No.
So, and
once again, we don't want to beat this thing to death, but come on, guys. Out of all the names you could pick, the best name you could come up with was that? Really? Really?
Yeah. A wild reindeer. The next segment, this one I'm going to love because everybody is jumping down the throats of the Lions on this one. Bombers trade for Sergio Castillo. Does he fix their kicking issues? Okay, the BC Lions have traded Sergio Castillo, who is still under contract with BC, but was given a pass to go to the NFL. I don't know how that worked. I don't remember.
I was going to say, I thought you weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, he's still under contract with the BC Lions, but because of the COVID season in 2020, the league allowed them to suspend the contract.
Okay.
And Castillo went south, and he was with the Jets for a bit. He was with a couple of teams. And the BC Lions have their rights in Canada and have traded them to Winnipeg Blue Bombers because Bombers have a kicking issue. Everybody's saying BC has a kicking issue. Well, I don't believe that because the new kid, Camacho, has missed two field goals since week one. Week one he didn't play, but week two he did. He's missed two field goals the entire season. They were costly field goals. They were definitely at the wrong time, but so be it. Shit happens, right? I'm not going to blame him. And then, you know, we got a young kid that could kick for us for years and years and years. Sergio Castillo is pretty old, and he wants to go south. And he's proved that several times already. Now, my question to you is, I have not seen one iota of media that says that he's coming back to the CFL. And if you notice that it's a conditional fourth-round pick, the condition is if he comes back to the CFL, BC gets a higher fourth-round or a higher draft pick. If he doesn't come back to the CFL, then they get this fourth-round pick. Okay? So I haven't seen anything where Chris Castillo is coming back to the CFL. Have you, Charles?
I have heard nothing, and I was wondering about that. First of all, I mean, I didn't even realize until I heard about this trade that Sergio Castillo was still under the Lions, was still under contract at Lions. I've seen nothing about that. I wasn't aware. I thought that they had just released him because he had been playing down in the NFL. So there's that. But, I mean, I haven't seen – I mean, yeah, they traded – as I see that they traded his rights, but I haven't heard anything about him reporting to Winnipeg. So, I don't know. You might want to hold off on the celebration there, Winnipeg, because I don't know if he's coming or not. I haven't heard anything. So I don't actually know.
Bomber fans are losing their mind. They think that this is the great.
This is the second coming.
Yeah, this is what they're gonna. This is guaranteed.
This is putting
them
over the top.
Yeah, but nobody says that he's coming. Issues by trading for Sergio Castillo. Winnipeg Blue Bombers acquire veteran kicker Sergio Castillo and deal with BC Lions. Bombers acquire Lions kicker. You know, these are all the headlines. Nobody says anything about him actually coming up. The only thing that I see right now is Sergio Castillo works out for the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry. I just don't see him coming back to the CFL right now. And maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't.
If he ends up not coming back, it's actually a steal for the Lions because they get an extra draft pick for nothing.
They get a draft pick for nothing.
Okay.
Sure, it's a fourth-round Canadian draft pick, but whatever. Sorry, what was
I'm
you going to say something? About
I'm
what?
Confused. Okay, so can you guys basically know how much attention I pay to kickers, correct?
None.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is zero.
Right. Are you telling me this guy isn't even playing for the Lions this year?
No.
He's been in the NFL.
He's currently on the practice roster of the New York Jets.
Okay, so let's ask the question. Is Mark Weddall on drugs? Because I got a message from him at 9:38 on Tuesday morning, and it says, quote, BC traded their kicker to the Bombers. He was their only consistent point getter. I'm laughing my ass off.
Yeah,
so
he has not played a game
this
year.
Wow, okay, I didn't know that. Wow. So then BC didn't trade anybody.
No.
Basically.
No one on the active roster.
An NFL player.
Okay.
I mean, literally.
BC
stole a draft pick from Winnipeg. And if Winnipeg up and he plays for Winnipeg, then the Lions haven't lost a goddamn thing because, A, we wouldn't have had him on the roster. If we had leased him to go to the States to play that, we wouldn't have been able to get back up. We already have replaced him with somebody as good, if not better.
Right.
Okay? I mean, that guy's one of the top kickers now in the CFL. I don't have a problem with our kicking team. That's not the area of
fine.
It's not the concern in BC right now. Kicking is not the concern. O-line, yes. Okay, DBs, yes.
Well, it was
okay.
It was the concern until they got rid of Nakasaki or whatever the heck his name was.
Well, he played one game.
Two games.
The Japanese guy played. Did he play two games?
Yeah, he played in Saskatchewan. He played in Calgary.
Okay, we lost the Saskatchewan game because of him. I don't think we won the Calgary game, didn't we?
We won the Calgary game, not because of him.
Yeah, not because of him. Yeah.
He missed a bunch of field goals in that one, too. Or whatever, he was missing stuff.
Yeah, and he got tossed.
Yeah, it was after that game they ditched him.
So BC hasn't lost a goddamn thing. If in fact, they just gained a draft pick. Okay? Because if Sergio Castillo had decided to come back to the CFL now, BC wouldn't have taken him. Okay?
I don't think they would have, no.
Trading him to a Western Division team, I don't personally think that that was a smart move. But so be it. It may be the only team that was willing to give him something for him. Fix the Bar's problems unless he actually comes up to the CFL again. Okay? And I've seen nothing that says that he is. Could be wrong. 100% I could be wrong. But I haven't seen anything. All I see is Winnipeg Blue Bomber fans throwing parties right now because they finally have a kick.
Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Who knows? But at this point in time, I'm not seeing it. Anything further to add to this? This is ridiculous. This is something I would have expected in Edmonton. I mean, who's the GM over in Winnipeg? Kyle Walters. I would have expected him to be a little bit smarter than this. Unless he's actually had communication with Sergio and this, that, and everything else. But, I mean, this guy doesn't want to play in Canada. He wants to play in America.
Yeah. I've seen nothing anywhere saying he's going to report to the Bombers.
Yeah. I don't know what the conditions are to the draft pick. Are they that he signs with Winnipeg, or is it that he – because currently he's I would believe that he's on contract for him, okay, for this season. So he could come up and play the remaining season, and then he doesn't re-sign with Winnipeg in the off season, and he gets this low round draft pick, or is it that he even shows up? BC gets a better draft pick. Don't know what the conditions are. I just hate when it's for a fourth round conditional draft pick. You know? How about some disclosure here? What does it mean? But anyhow, moving on, Trey Roberson returns to Calgary.
Well,
I really don't have anything to say about this. Will, step up and tell us what this means to you and your team.
You know what? They were not, their defensive backfield is not one of their weaknesses this year. They have a bunch of young guys. Now, if you remember, you probably don't remember Trey Roberson. He was with them for 2 years. He's a shutdown cornerback. He had 8 interceptions his last year or something like that. He is the grandson of Larry Hybaugh. Okay, I remember. I don't know if you guys remember that. And he's been with the Bears for 2 years. So I guess they cut him and Calgary signed him. I know nothing more about it than that. And he always did say he liked living in Calgary. So, you know, maybe he's also 28 or 29 years old. So
he's still got some playing time left.
Yeah, maybe he wants to come back and finish his career in Calgary. So I have no problem with that because he was an excellent
shutdown corner.
Cornerback. Yeah, he is. As a matter of fact, he replaced the guy who played in Edmonton, Tommy. Oh my God, he played in Calgary. He was the guy who got arrested for drugs in his first off season with Calgary back in the States. Ah, God, I can't remember his name. But anyways, I thought we would miss him, but then Trey Roberson came along, and yeah, did not miss him one tiny little bit.
Was
so
it?
I'm excited
Tommy,
about him coming
no,
back.
Tommy Condell's a coach.
No,
yes,
Tommy, come on.
Not Tommy Condell.
No.
Tommy, God, come on.
Tommy, I don't remember.
Tommy, I don't remember. Montreal.
Tommy Campbell?
Yes, that's it, Tom Campbell.
Tommy Campbell.
Tommy Campbell. Yeah. So he replaced Tommy Campbell, and we didn't miss a beat, okay? Trey Roberson was a college quarterback. And he went to the NFL, and they tried to make him into a cornerback, and I guess that's where he stuck. So, and he was injured in Chicago from the very first time he got there. So once again, I don't know if he'll be as good as he was, because they're not usually as good as they are. But he's also a D-back, so maybe that'll make a difference. So. But I don't think Calgary is suffering in the defensive backfield right now anyway, so we shall see.
Okay. Yeah, I got nothing to add to that at all. So, boom.
It almost seems like the strong getting stronger, though, with a couple of these.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Hard to say Montreal's strong, but yeah, so Montreal just got stronger after they've lost the badge, okay? Trevor Harris. I don't think Trevor Harris is a bad quarterback. I think he was in a very caustic environment in Edmonton, and it wasn't working for him, and this might be okay in Montreal. Is he a rental player for the rest of the season? Probably. I think they pretty much committed to Vernon Adams.
Yeah, I don't think the Vag played that well this year, to be honest with you.
No.
He was up and down, but there's a lot of people that are not playing well this year that we expect more of.
Yep. Yep.
Right? And then you wanted Sergio Castillo, did he actually make the Bombers stronger? Well, that's a wait and see, because only if he shows up.
Thing is, though, they've been winning despite their bad kicking.
I was going to say, if he shows up, it's an improvement for Winnipeg, because their kicker has sucked this year. Mind you, last week their kicker got four field goals. So,
yeah, I don't know. Hard to say on that one. And then Trey Roberson coming back to Calgary. Well, that could be a good thing for Calgary. It might not. So. And Calgary is a good team, getting better at this point in time. Bringing him back on right now might just be the answer a little bit to kick them up and over the top and in pursuit of Winnipeg. And then they're going to need him to shut Winnipeg down. So,
yeah,
this could be the answer to the problem and the problems the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
I got a feeling when it comes time, okay, now remember how people say that in the winter in the CFL it's best to have a running game? Well, Calgary doesn't play Winnipeg again until November 20th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be who's got the best running game by then. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, moving down the list. The question is the enthusiasm for the CFL down this season? I do don't even think the enthusiasm in Regina strong as it has been in the past. Don't think they're jumping up and down. They may have been the beginning of the season, but right now I think it's kind of like, yeah, let's see what's going on. Only the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are blowing up their own ass. The fans, the enthusiasm in Winnipeg right now is going because their team is all going to win the Grey Cup because they're so powerful and strong in the skill. Okay, yeah. I hope they don't. But I can't speak on Vancouver, but I don't see the numbers in the attendance straight across the league. Is it because of requirements? BC's had some sellouts, which is kind of rare, but that's only because the numbers are restricted. A lot of the stadiums in the CFL, there are no restrictions on the numbers, and are they a strong – no, the attendance is not the same. Attendance in Regina is not the same. The attendance in Toronto is terrible for Toronto. It's even worse than normal. Edmonton didn't look so good the last couple of games. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think the enthusiasm for the league is there. I don't have the enthusiasm for the CFL this year. I personally, honestly believe they shouldn't play this season. But, you know, I know everybody is saying that if they didn't play, there wouldn't be a league. Well, yeah. We don't know that. We do not know that. We can speculate all we want, but we do not know that. If they took another year off, would the attendance next year have been worse? Probably. Who knows? They may have became totally insignificant in the sports landscape in Canada. That's assuming, of course, they are relevant in the sports landscape of Canada. They're not in the major cities right now. William, what's your take on this subject? Do you have the same enthusiasm for the CFL that you once had?
I do. You know what? I think a lot of people, I tend to wonder if people have enthusiasm for a lot of, less enthusiasm for a lot of things because, and I'm sorry, it's got a lot to do with COVID, okay? Because I noticed that as time went on, it was starting to really get to me, everything that they were doing when they were shutting things down and when, you know, you had to wear masks to games and so on and so forth and hearing about it on a daily basis. I still think a lot of people are not showing up at games regardless if you have to be vaccinated or not, just because they're scared that they're going to catch something, okay? Because, I mean, we have managed to do that with the media to scare people into not doing things. Okay? So am I as enthusiastic about the CFL? I am. Have the games been as good? Not really. I have, to be honest with you, watched more NFL this year than I have in a long time because of that reason. But it's not that much better anyways, in my mind. So, I don't know. Go ahead, Charles.
I mean, I'm so enthusiastic about the CFL. Hell, I've just spent a bunch of money to go to Hamilton with the Grey Cup. But, I mean, I can understand why people think it is down. The crowds have suffered in some places. I've noticed on our page, our game chats are not getting yes?
I asked, how many games have you attended this year?
I've been to two games this year.
How many games do you normally go to in a season?
It varies. There were a couple games that I was going to go to and couldn't because of other commitments. I probably would have been to all of them had I not, but I've been to two. Yeah, I've been to two, though.
Do you see my point?
About what?
Well, you say that your enthusiasm for the league hasn't gone down. Your attendance has. And I think that
it's only gone down because I had work commitments. Those were the two things that two games I was going to go to that I ended up having to cancel at the last minute.
Right. So DC's only had four home games so far.
They've had, I think it's four. Yeah, four or five. Yep.
BC is 1-4 at home, so they've had five games.
Okay, there's five.
Okay. Okay.
Have I been to three? Actually, I've been to three, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's been two or three, but not because I didn't want to go. It's just because I had other commitments that I had to that I wasn't able to go. There was one I was all set to go, and then I ended up not going. Ended up the night before the game, I ended up having a change in my schedule, and I couldn't go. So I would have been to at least three. But I see your point. But in terms of other people, I even see on my on our game chats on our website, they don't get as they're not getting as many comments as they used to. So some people are commenting, some people are not. So I mean, we still get a lot of traffic on the page and stuff like that. Also get some idiots. That's beside the point, but
that's normal.
At least, yeah, you can see at least that there is at least some level of lessening enthusiasm. Now, this one's a weird season, and this has been a weird season, obviously, with the weird way it started, and it's a shorter season, and this and that. So I'll be interested to see come next year when we're likely, well, hopefully, going to be back to like a full season starting, you know, late June, early July or whenever it starts, if that enthusiasm comes back with a regular training camp and preseason and a full season there. I'll be interested to see if it starts to pick up again there because this season, like we said, it's a weird season. It's a short season. So we'll see what happens.
William, did you go on this already?
I already went.
Yeah, you went on this already.
Yeah. My take on this is a little different on a few different things. I don't think we're losing enthusiasm for the league. I think we're losing the enthusiasm to go to a stadium. I think with the restrictions on attendance and the requirement of a passport, a lot of people are choosing to just stay at home and watch it on TV. I know that's the case in BC. I know that's the case in Toronto. I know that's the case with William. A lot of people who would attend the games cannot attend the games because they simply aren't allowed in the door. People like myself, who let's say it was a perfect world. There was no attendance restrictions. There was no passport requirements, and I live close to town. I still wouldn't go to the stadium right now. I think people suck, and I never really liked being in big crowds. And just right now, with the entire concept of COVID out there, I'm just as happy to stay the fuck away from people and everybody. I honestly, today was the first day I left my ranch in 3 weeks. I don't feel the need to go to a football game. Even if I was living beside the stadium, I do not believe I would attend a game. Is my enthusiasm for the CFL down this year? Yeah, it is, because I'm not really comfortable with the games. I think they're boring as hell, and they're not good games. And I find it really hard to get myself up to come and do the podcast and to participate on the Facebook group. Well, the fact that I've been Facebook jail so much this year, too, hasn't really helped much on that.
God knows why I'm kind of doing that. Nobody expects that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little bit – you got to really question or qualify what enthusiasm is lacking. And I think there's a lot of people that don't want to go to the games, and especially in the bigger cities.
Well,
in the smaller cities and the prairies, they don't seem to care too much.
Okay, so, I got something to tell you.
Go ahead.
And I'm telling you, I'm not really proud of this, but
you've gone and got vaccinated.
I have caved Christopher, yes, sir. Uh-huh. Okay, and I am, and I didn't think it would bother me that much, but 2 weeks ago, man, it absolutely fucking killed me that I couldn't go to the football game here in Calgary.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely killed me. And I didn't think it would, but it did. So, yeah.
I honestly don't think it matters, because I think this entire passport thing is going to go down the toilet really fast.
And I 100% agree with you, but a couple of things happened to me. First and foremost was I was told I couldn't go see my grandkids.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't go to my gym and football games. These are blocks for me. I live by this stuff, okay? This is the stuff that I love, okay? And I just couldn't not do it. I thought I could, but I couldn't. So I put in my mind, I put the poison in my body, and whatever happens, happens. And, yeah, so I am going to get to go to the football game this Saturday, so. I can't really say my enthusiasm has died for the game, because it's going to be fucking cold on Saturday night in Calgary, and I'm going to the football game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I respect your choice. I don't agree with it, but I respect it.
I'm totally disappointed with myself, to be honest with you.
So am I, but that's.
But I got lots of pressure, and it's starting to get to the point now where some of my bigger construction sites in town, I can't go on those either.
Yeah.
I can't go on construction sites. So, and I know it's a way to do it, and I don't think it's going to last, but who knows?
Yeah. No, it's unraveling right now. There was a huge protest in Quebec City from first line nurses, doctors, whatever else today that said that they absolutely don't want to do this. There was a big what did I see today on the BC thing? BC doctors have finally had it with Dix and Henry. This is the Minister of Health and Dr. Bonnie Henry, who's the thing. Effective Wednesday, October 20th, they will begin issuing their own COVID press releases, where a grassroots group of physicians, nurses, healthcare scientists, health policy specialists, and community advocates. We are done with this bullshit. It's basically their press release.
Well.
So, I mean, they are putting people in the hospital right now and basically letting them die. It's really simple. If they do not treat these people with what needs to happen, it's just wrong. And I know we don't want to get off topic here and everything else, but they got to stop being doctors and stop being politicians. And the doctors are starting to do that. And this is going to unravel on the government. It's going to blow up in their fucking face, and people are going to come. It's going to be a nightmare. Okay. No, go ahead.
When you already had a shortage of doctors and nurses and stuff like that to begin with, before COVID even hit, firing a bunch more just doesn't make sense. It's just that's not going to help the problem. It's going to make it worse.
Yeah, yeah. There's 10,000 doctors and nurses that are losing their jobs in Manitoba. I personally didn't think there was 10,000 doctors and nurses in Manitoba. But that alone has got to tell you something. There's that many people that are standing up for their rights. Yeah, I don't know. There's some really good things on my Facebook if anybody wants to go take a look at them. There's a doctor from Rimby, Alberta?
Yep.
Okay. He made a pretty bold statement that the woman in the hospital said that it feels like they just put me in the corner and they're just waiting for me to die to become a statistic. And he says, not in my watch. And he went off and did something about it. Yeah, there's some good videos on there if anybody wants to come over to my wall and take a look at them. And these are just people talking the truth, just speaking the truth. And the mainstream media is totally and completely ignoring them. Okay, moving on, because I don't want the COVID show. Look at this. What's the next thing? CFLPA lawyers reviewing the CFL COVID travel policy. Well, I have an issue with the state. I don't believe the CFLPA has any balls at the best of times. Okay? I have no respect for this organization at all. They cave at the slightest thing. They put out headlines, but they don't back them up. Beside the point, it's not CFL's COVID travel policy. Government that is mandating a vaccine passport to fly anywhere.
Yep.
And how can you blame the CFL? How is a CBA going to interfere with? Oh, yeah, excuse me, we got a CBA that says that our guys can play. No, that's not valid. You're not allowed to fly unless you've got this vaccine passport. Coming up October 30th. Okay? After that, if you can't fly, you can't be on the team for away games, especially Western Canada. I mean, you can't go from one city to another without flying. You can pretty much bus in Ontario. And Ontario is this massive place. Montreal's not that far from Ottawa. Ottawa's not far from Toronto. Hamilton and Toronto are beside each other. Literally, you can go just about anywhere in that, and they have a great train network. So, yes, it's really not. I mean, you can't go from BC to – you can't go from Vancouver to Edmonton or Vancouver and Calgary in a realistic time frame. You know, it's better part of 11 hours. You know, that's a fair drive. You can't take a bus. That's even slower.
So is that rule even for charters?
Yes. Yes. You cannot fly in Canada if you do not have a passport. At this point in time, whether the passport becomes relevant or irrelevant in the near future is you know, a lot to be said.
Yeah.
Israel right now has canceled every single vaccine passport. Did you hear about that? They literally said that every passport is now null and void because they are demanding everybody to get a third and fourth vaccine. Anybody with only two vaccines is exactly the same as having no vaccines right now.
Mm.
So, you know, It's a bizarre one.
And now I've noticed there's a lot of people in Alberta, and I would think in Canada, who've had a third vaccine already, because in the beginning, nobody would recognize AstraZeneca. And now everybody is recognizing AstraZeneca. So those people really didn't have to get a third vaccine, but
yeah,
whatever.
Well, it's going to come down to only Pfizer's the only approved vaccine in Canada. That's what it's going to come down to. The bottom line is the politicians are being paid off right now that Pfizer is the only acceptable vaccine that's going to happen. Here's a great quote Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that did not protect the protected in the first place? Does that make sense?
The first time you said it, it didn't, and it does, but it doesn't. I have to wrap my head around it, but yes, it makes sense.
Yep. Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that has not protected the protected in the first place?
Right.
So, Charles, if you're double vaccinated, you did this early on, okay?
Yep.
Do you feel protected? Do you feel that you're a threat from unvaccinated people?
I never really have, no.
So I'm totally confused by all of this. And then the one thing, and it's only because it's on the agenda here that we're going to talk about this, because it's going to go away real fast. We're not going to talk about this COVID, but I have one other thing, one other quote that I'd like to put out, and it's from the City of Vancouver Health Department. Okay? Now, this is the I'm just looking for it. I've got it here somewhere. Oh, maybe I don't.
I do. It's in a picture here. It's a good quote, man, and it's worth waiting for, because it's going to say, oh, what the fuck was that all about? Okay, this is from Dr. Patricia Daly, Chief Medical Health Officer for Vancouver Coastal Health. Okay? The vaccine passport requires people to be vaccinated to do certain discretionary activities, such as go to restaurants, movies, gyms, not because these places are high risk. They're not actually seeing COVID transmission in these settings. This is really to create an incentive to improve our vaccination coverage.
Yeah, I can believe that.
This is literally coming from the boss.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not that restaurants, pubs, football games are high transmission areas, which I would believe that a football game would be a high transmission area. But, you know, pubs, restaurants, I mean, nobody messes with you at your table. Get the fuck out, right? Unless you're in a shitty bar. Yeah, they're only doing this because they want to penalize people who are unvaccinated.
Correct.
Wow. I couldn't believe it when I read that. It just blew my mind that this is it, this, and they're calling us conspiracy theorists. I'm sorry. I think that we've just proved this conspiracy here. It's not a theory. So I honestly don't know what the hell the CFLPA's lawyers are doing and why they're wasting money paying a lawyer to look into something that the federal government has mandated.
Right.
What do you want Randy Ambrosi to do? I totally disagree with what he said, where no players will play in any of the playoff games that are not vaccinated. He can't do that. Obviously, he can. He just did it. Whether it can be upheld or not isn't something the CFLPA can argue with. But you can't fly. And another thing that he said is if the players have to travel as a whole, as a team. They have to travel. Where did this come from? That's
so
never been the case
there.
In the CFL. Oh.
You
Randy Ambrosi has said that the team must travel together. They must travel as a whole.
Don't they anyways?
Not always. They've never.
Not always. To. No.
Really? Okay.
When the Calgary Stampeders go to Edmonton, there are Calgary Stampeder guys that drive their car.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, they don't travel in a bus because they don't want to be in a bus setting with the rest of the guys. They drive in their car because they want to, or they want to do something, right? They're going to go Edmonton, hang out, stay an extra couple of days, whatever, right?
Right. You ever been to Edmonton, Christopher? There's no reason to stay an extra couple of days.
I'm cognizant. I know Andrew Harris has got that ugliest fucking motorcycle God ever made.
What are you talking about? They got a mall.
Who? Edmonton, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Andrew getting old and run down.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I'm surprised they haven't blown it up yet. Winnipeg, Andrew Harris has that three-wheeled Polaris motorcycle thing that's kind of half a car. It's not the Can-Am one that actually looks like a motorcycle. This looks like a car that got cut in half. You know what you're talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. He's got this. There was a big thing about him driving it to Regina to play football. Right? And it wasn't this year.
Well,
it was in a previous year. But
that would be a long, uncomfortable ride. Holy fuck.
Yeah. So... anyhow, that's so no, the teams don't always travel together. Now they are mandated to travel together because the CFL believes that it's a good policy. I mean, who the fuck do they think they are creating rules on the fly? If I don't want to hang out with the players because I'm don't want to hang out with the players because I don't maybe I don't trust them. Maybe I don't want to get COVID from one of my own players. Maybe that's the case. What team is it right now? One of the NFL teams is waiting for the results to come back. They think half the did you see that, Charles?
No.
One of the teams, I didn't either. Or was it NFL or NHL? One of the two, either hockey.
No,
or
you know
football.
What? No, it was. I know what it was. It was actually the Winnipeg Jets.
Is it the Jets?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. They were waiting for Tesla, but I actually read it right before we started the show. I was reading on Twitter, and apparently most of the tests came back negative. But they were afraid there that there was a whole bunch. It turned out that there wasn't, but they were afraid of it because they had a couple of positive ones.
Yeah.
But the apparently tested again, and a bunch of them that initially tested positive, then tested again, and they tested negative. So.
Yeah. What a great test.
And me personally, I can't believe they're still using a test. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, isn't it almost time?
I don't know.
We got 2 minutes left.
Okay. Oh, we can't do the up-to-date power rankings.
They suck anyway.
The index, they suck. Yeah, everything sucks. Look at the standings, you know where everybody is. Okay, facts are facts. Saskatchewan's on the slide. BC is not kind of treading water. Calgary's on the rise. Winnipeg is stagnant. Toronto seems stable. Montreal, I think, is coming up a little bit. Hamilton, you got to believe that they're a little stronger, having Dane Evans and Jeremiah Mazzoli back. Ottawa's a fucking laugh. There's CJ's power rankings for the day. You like them?
Yep, they were cool.
Were they accurate?
Yep.
Pretty much. Okay.
They were.
60 seconds left in this show, so let's rip it out. This has been Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 459. I've been your host, Christopher Jones, and I had fun. We just booked it through this show. We got about 20 seconds, 30 seconds left in the show, and we'll hand it off to Charles and let him say goodnight. Go at it, buddy.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this weekend's games, and we'll talk to you next week.
And William.
Good night, everybody. Watch football this weekend, and go, Schooners, go.
Yeah. Well,
don't come back.
Yeah, exactly. Don't come back. You two have a great week, and enjoy the football game. And, Will, just for the record, I'm a little disappointed in you, my friend. A little disappointed.
No,
take
I'm
care.
a lot disappointed in myself, but that's okay.
I'm indifferent.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver?
I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.